Hello, you're listening to WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Bernsey's Multimedia Services, providing the Hudson Valley with a variety of video production services, including help to keep those wedding memories fresh. For more information, visit BernseyMedia.com or call them at 518-860-2751 or email BernseyMMS@gmail.com, BURNSYMMS@gmail.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anya from Rock and Roll High School, Los Angeles, California. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May 9th, 2024. I'm Farah Siddiqui. The world's largest vacuum to suck climate pollution out of the air began operating in Iceland on Wednesday. It's expected to remove carbon and store it deep into the earth. Also, members of the House Education Committee questioned school leaders from K through 12 public schools over their handling of complaints of anti-Semitism. And President Joe Biden tells CNN that he'll stop sending American weapons to Israel if there's a major invasion in Rafah. This is a first in his acknowledgement that U.S. weapons have been used to kill civilians in Gaza. It's nearly summer and time to go to bat for those struggling with hunger in New Mexico. Our Roz Brown has more.
This Saturday, letter carriers with the U.S. Postal Service will collect non-perishable food items on the doorsteps of customers as part of Stamp Out Hunger, the nation's largest one-day food drive. Maria Montano is a member of Albuquerque's National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 504. She participates each year because she says it's a chance to give back to the community.
The end of April, I start talking about it to my customers, letting my customers know, and every little bit counts. One day alone at one station, we get close to about 500 pounds per carrier.
Some Virginia farm workers will have updated heat protection guidelines.
The Farm Labor Organizing Committee is enacting heat and safety protections for all its members. Neither Virginia nor the federal government has comprehensive heat guidelines for workers. It comes as summer temperatures are getting hotter because of climate change. Mario Vargas with the Farm Labor Organizing Committee says being mindful of heat stress is important.
It should be important every season because there's been some deaths in some fields, you know, not only in North Carolina, but in some other states because of these supervisors or contractors, independent contractors, that they push the people to their limit.
The new protections say if temperatures are near 85 degrees, anyone experiencing heat stress or dehydration symptoms should leave the field and seek shade. For temperatures close to 95 degrees or higher, workers should take a break every 2.5 hours with water in the shade or as often as needed, regardless of whether a supervisor is present. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Dozens of union members rallied Wednesday in Sacramento, calling on lawmakers to pass a set of bills called the California Worker Climate Bill of Rights. Suzanne Potter has more.
The bills are intended to integrate workers' rights into the clean energy transition. The Climate Resilient Schools Act would create the first master plan to make sure our schools have clean, cool air, adequate shade, and energy-efficient buildings and buses. Jeff Freitas is president of CFT, a union of educators and classified professionals.
The bill also looks at everything that is needed in terms of how it can help the state, how it can help the school environment, how it can help the students, creating not only a more welcome space, but a healthier space for our students and the workers there.
This is Public News Service. Michigan boasts 11,000 inland lakes, more freshwater shoreline than any other state, and tens of thousands of miles of rivers and streams. But a new report says some of these waters are being contaminated by livestock waste from concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. More from Crystal Blair.
The Environmental Law and Policy Center report says the 290 CAFOs in Michigan generate almost 63 million pounds of waste. Report co-author Katie Garvey.
This is just a lot of waste, and it all has to go somewhere. Unfortunately, because of the way that this industry operates and the state's failure to regulate it properly, that somewhere, all too often, is the waters of the state.
Garvey says if CAFOs were regulated like other industrial operations, they would have to either treat their waste before disposing of it, safely manage it, or produce less waste. Some defenders of CAFOs say every firm is different and the industry should not be painted with a broad brush.
President Joe Biden was in Wisconsin on Wednesday touting plans for a new Microsoft data center. The visit comes amid new polling data in battleground states about what's on the minds of rural voters, with organizers noting surprising results.
The poll released by the Rural Democracy Initiative included feedback from Wisconsin voters. 57% of respondents said they favored a more economic populist vision, with policies centered around lowering costs and raising incomes for the working class. Breakthrough Campaigns researcher Patrick Toomey, who helped lead the poll, says that approach appears more popular than one often touted by GOP politicians.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
And while economic policies aligned with Democrats, like minimum wage hikes, are favorable in this poll, many rural voters indicated they think Republicans are doing more for working people. Analysts say that shows Democrats have work to do to rebuild trust in rural areas. I'm Mike Moen.
A North Carolina group hopes to help people stay out of prison by connecting them to critical resources.
Recidivism Reduction Educational Program Services is launching a new hotline to help formerly incarcerated people with reentry services. Kerwin Pittman is the organization's founder and says he found it tough getting connected to the right people as a returning citizen nearly 7 years ago. And in 2024, he says the issues still exists.
We realized that across North Carolina, the connectivity wasn't happening at all. And so you would have people returning citizens, family members, those who wanted to get help, or these individuals trying to reach out for services and needed services, but just couldn't find them.
The hotline connects callers to real people who essentially create a bridge directly to services in the community. Shantia Hudson reporting.
This is Farah Siddiqui for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, May 9th. Local early morning temperatures range from 47 degrees in Tannersville to 54 in Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 57 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. A cool and dry morning turns to a cloudy and rainy afternoon. A high of 67 happens at 4 p.m. Overnight, more rain and a low of 48. Tomorrow, cool, high of 54. And you know it, rain chances all day long. 44 degrees overnight takes us into a sloppy looking weekend. Rain Saturday and Sunday, both of which have a high of 58. At least it'll be fun for the Ducks. Speaking of which, today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:16 a.m., low tide at 11:16 a.m., high tide again at 4:51 p.m., then low tide once again at 11:16 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 61 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 7:48 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:36 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at a crazy high 60%, meaning this is the, first better weather I've done where it is more likely for the sun to pop off an X-class flare than not. One more sign of the peaking solar cycle number 25. Plasma winds will be average at 435 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad until dark, then fair below 28 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 142. And this has been the better weather for Thursday, May 9th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Sono lieto di poter rievocare in poche parole le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati, alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
Turn out for Wayfarms WGXE 90.7 FM's karaoke contest fundraiser at Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, May 10th. The evening will be hosted by karaoke Amanda of WGXC show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, with proceeds from ticket sales benefiting WGXC. The contest's theme is communication, so all songs related to dialing, radio, phone, internet, fax, and more are eligible. Choose your tune and sing it for our guest judges, Ariel and Gloria of WGXC show Las Brujas Bilingües, and DJ Patty Boom of WGXC show Vinyl Freedom to win prizes. Prizes include tickets to the Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Mose, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt show at the Greenville Drive-In and other goodies. Doors are open at 7 p.m. and karaoke contest begins at 8 p.m. If you can't turn out in person, tune in for a live broadcast of the event on the FM dial or online. For more information, visit the community calendar at wavefarm.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Wednesday, May 8th, several hundred people gathered at the state capitol at a rally organized by the local Muslim community to support the call for a ceasefire in Gaza. We hear from three of the main organizers of the event, Jamaica Miles of All of Us, Iman Jamal Shah of the Schenectady Islamic Center, and Dr. Shabib Shakima, who is the MC of the event.
Jamaica Miles, co-founder, executive director of All of Us, who is an affiliated member of Movement for Black Lives.
And why are you here today, Jamaica, at this Muslim support rally, ceasefire in Gaza at the state capitol?
All of us is here today because we've stood in unity in the fight to free Palestine from the very beginning. And as an affiliated member of the Movement for Black Lives, that is one of our pillars. It's freedom and liberation for all of us, not just some of us. So when the Muslim leadership reached out and asked if we would be a part of it, we were more than happy to be here because we do truly believe that it is necessary for everyone to have freedom and liberation and not for anyone to be oppressed or exploited.
Now, I understand that the Schenectady City Council hasn't quite passed a resolution yet.
So in the city of Schenectady, we've shown up at every city council meeting for almost 2 months now. We will be back there on Monday the 13th, demanding that they have a ceasefire resolution. And what's really interesting is the resolution that was presented to the city council does not just say that there should be a ceasefire specifically for Palestine, but it also recognizes the atrocity that happened on October 7th, something the city council did not address at the time. So the resolution that's been put forward actually calls out the violence that happened on October 7th, as well as the ongoing violence that continues today by Israel. So here's an opportunity for the city council to stand up for all of us and say that we need justice and liberation. We need an end to violence, regardless of who you are.
And what do we need the Biden administration to be doing at this point?
Well, I think it's been said before, but of course I'll say it again. No more weapons to Israel. They are violating both international and They are violating both international and national law. In our country, it says that if you use weapons against civilians, we're not going to give you weapons anymore. And I'm being really, general about it, but that's what it says. So we're violating our own laws. If Biden really cared about the laws that govern this country, then he would follow them as well.
Thank you very much, Jamaica Miles.
Well, my name is Jamal Shah. I'm the Imam of the Schenectady Islamic Center. We're here today to protest against the ongoing genocide that the Israeli government is enacting upon the people of Gaza and Palestine as a whole. It's been 200 plus days. And the number of dead has been kept at 35,000 probably since January. So we're probably talking an uncountable number of people that have been murdered. So simply we're here today exercising our First Amendment right to protest against that and to speak out against it. As we can see around the country, more and more people are waking up to the realization that there is a very real apartheid and genocide happening within our lifetime. And as the other day was just Holocaust Remembrance Day, it's even more reason for us to speak out loud and unequivocally to ensure that we don't have another, million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million deaths on our hands.
So besides, you know, a ceasefire, what needs to happen at this point? How do we get lasting peace here?
Well, I mean, the answer is pretty clear. It's not a complicated situation. We need to input some pressures on the Israeli government to do things that a democracy would do, namely end the occupation, namely recognize the state of Palestine, namely stop the savagery and the butchery. And as the United States government, that is the world superpower. That is the superpower that enables Israel, that also can disable Israel. So we want our elected officials to actually represent the interests of the people and not the interests of themselves.
Most of our elected officials at this point, especially at the federal level, but here at the Capitol, don't seem to be listening. Why is that?
To simplify it, there is a certain lobby that goes around that actually pays our Congress members and state-level officials as well to act in their interests. This lobby is called AIPAC. The irony is that AIPAC is funded by the Israeli government. The irony about the Israeli government is that that money is U.S. taxpayer dollars. So we have taxpayer dollars going to Israel, then coming back to the United States, but not back into the interest of the taxpayer, but into the pockets of elected officials. And then they promote whatever propaganda they're told to promote. As the U.S. taxpayer being at the center of all this, it feels like we're getting a pretty big middle finger saying, your money is now our money, and you get no say in what policies we decide to promote, what policies we decide to enact. And I think as an American citizen, law-abiding citizen, taxpayer, I find that highly problematic. And I just don't know that there's any Americans that are okay with their tax dollars being spent. Not only do these elected officials get their salaries and wages from our tax dollars, but then they also get these benefits. And I mean, let's face it, if this was another country, we would call that a bribe. But because of the political system here and because of, you know, some kind of arcane laws, we can't call it a bribe. But it's as simple as being handed cash and then doing whatever the person that just handed you the cash says to do.
Anything else you'd like to add?
We need more and more people to be brave and courageous in their support. We know there's so many people, especially within the Jewish community that we've heard from, that have been facing all kinds of harassment and intimidation from Zionists within their community, even within the Christian community. I'm speaking as a faith leader, and it just really pains my heart to see that there are people that are so hateful out there in this world that can't or won't allow their own people, sometimes that's within their own household, to simply just call for peace. That's what we're here for. We're not here calling for, you know, a violent end or death to anyone. We're here trying to promote the preservation of life. And that's the irony in all of this, is that you have people that want a genocide to continue. As we can see, either the Israeli army is totally incompetent or they're a bunch of liars. You can't kill that many people and say that you've done the job when that many people are all civilians. As we can see, rockets are still being fired, which means they have not cleared out or achieved any of their stated military objectives. So, like I said, they're either wholly incompetent, which means the United States government, President Biden, is funding an incompetent army who are enacting war crimes, which, by the way, the war crimes report was due yesterday, and it's indefinitely delayed, and Congress is not happy about that. But if they're not wholly incompetent and they are well-trained, then that means they are just lying about the number of people that they've killed. They claim to have one of the best, I don't know how this can be the best, but one of the most moral civilian to combatant death ratios. And just simple mathematics, simple statistics, and just hearing from the victims themselves on the ground, the people that have been left behind who've lost all their family, that can't be further from the truth. I would say at this point, it's over 85% of civilian casualties. And honestly speaking, no one really knows how many Hamas fighters there are, but we do know how many civilians there are. And we do see how many civilians have their homes bombed and their families bombed day after day after day. As I'm speaking to you right now, at least 10 children are dying this hour. And I just don't see how the world can be quiet about that.
Yeah, so my name is Dr. Sahib Chikima, and we're here obviously as part of the protests here. And in addition to just coming here protesting, obviously we're still asking for a ceasefire, and we want to show support for the students around, you know, the globe, not just the country, and the amazing things they're doing. And all they're asking for is to save lives. So we're here. This is not the first time that actually we're coming out. Now we have even more reason because things are getting worse by the day. And also we're, you know, I personally am here volunteering, trying to collect petition signatures for both Dr. Jill and Dr. West. And the reason we want to do that is we really want to show what democracy is. And you know, we're tired of the two-party system where you only have one of the two. And, you know, sometimes we said the least of the two evils. That should not be an option for people. People should choose, you know, those that reflect, you know, their principles, their belief, not necessarily religious belief, but belief in the system. And I personally, I'm still trying to figure out who am I going to vote for. But that's irrelevant right now. I just want people to know that, hey, once you're coming out, because a lot of people are saying we're not going to vote, that's not the answer, right? You have a voice, use it. So what is better than giving them more than two options? And we're hoping at least one of the candidates that we're collecting signatures for will make it into the ballot. I know the number right now is 45,000 signatures, which means we have to collect about 90,000. But we're working on it. So that's what we're trying to do in addition to the protest.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
2023 music from bassist Luke Stewart there. Antique Consequence is the name of the song.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Even if you weren't concerned about the drop boxes and the ballot harvesting and the mail-in ballots in 2020, you definitely should be concerned that illegal aliens might be voting in 2024.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says non-citizens are voting in federal elections, but he's not offering proof. Johnson is repeating the conspiracy theory that Democrats are letting a wave of aliens in so they can illegally vote for President Joe Biden. He's backing legislation to require proof of citizenship to get a ballot. Meanwhile, Johnson easily survived a vote Wednesday to remove him as speaker after Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene finally made good on a threat.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant. This is the uniparty for the American people watching.
Only 11 Republicans voted with her. A Georgia appeals court will reconsider whether Fulton County DA Fannie Willis can stay on the state's election interference case against former President Donald Trump. Defendants claim Willis should be removed for a romantic relationship with her special prosecutor, who Willis says has resigned.
You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
It's now unlikely the case against Trump and 14 allies will go to trial before the election. Meanwhile, the judge in Trump's separate classified documents case has indefinitely postponed that trial date. Retired federal judge Shira Shindlin tells CNN the Florida judge has been slow walking that case by not ruling on 8 different motions.
She puts it all off, then she says there are many complex issues regarding classified documents, and that's true. But if she had done her job, there wouldn't be 8 left. There might be 3, and she could set a trial date.
Some progressives are cheering Biden's move to pause a weapons shipment to Israel over concern for civilians in Rafah. But Republicans say the president is defying Congress after a multi-billion-dollar Israeli aid package passed last month. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham calls it obscene.
Give Israel what they need to fight the war they can't afford to lose. This is Hiroshima and Nagasaki on steroids.
Biden says he could also block other weapons if Israel goes into Rafah. Leaders of 3 large public school systems in California, Maryland, and New York told a congressional panel they're fighting anti-Semitism with education and discipline. Republicans argue the K-12 schools haven't done enough, but New York City Chancellor David Banks says lawmakers were looking for a gotcha moment.
We have some teachers who have had some of these challenges, but we've had members of Congress who've made anti-Semitic statements, and I certainly would not cast aspersions on this entire institution.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Hey, how are
you? You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2021, Native American nations negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create majority-minority state House districts under the Voting Rights Act. and together they defended it in federal court. Now the state is welching on the deal and joining the GOP plaintiffs in asking the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse the decision. Two local GOP officials contested House District 4A in 2022, claiming it was unfair under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Native American nations, known as the MHA Nation, joined with the state of North Dakota, arguing the VRA Section 2 gives them the right to elect the candidate of their choice. Together, they won when a three-judge federal panel agreed. The GOP officials appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. But in a shameful historical pattern, the state of North Dakota abandoned its agreement with the MHA Nation and May 6th instead asked the justices to vacate the decision, potentially eliminating District 4A and three other majority-minority Native districts. As we've reported, voter suppression forces have been throwing cases at the high court's wall in hopes that conservative justices will rescind remaining voting protections for minority Americans. Expect oral arguments this fall. We have details of the case and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I was riding on the Mayflower when I thought I spied some lead.
Start again. Wait a minute now. Okay, take two.
I was riding on the Mayflower and I thought I spot some land. I yelled for Captain E-Rib, I have you understand. Who came running to the deck, said, boys, forget the wheel. We're going over yonder, cut the engines, change the sails. Haul on the bowline, we sang that melody like all tough sailors do when they're far away at sea. I think I'll call it America, I said as we hit land. I took a deep breath, I fell down, I could not stand. Captain Arab, he started writing up some deeds. He said, let's set up a fort and start buying a place with beads. Just then this cop comes down the street, crazy as a loon. He throws us all in jail for carrying harpoons. Ah, me, I busted out, don't even ask me how. I went to get some help, I walked by Guernsey Cow, who directed me down to the Bowery slums, where people carried signs around saying, ban the bums. I jumped right into line, saying, I hope that I'm not late, when I realized I hadn't eaten for 5 days straight. Looking for the cook, I told him I was the editor of a famous etiquette book. The waitress, he was handsome, he wore a powder blue cape. I ordered some Suzette, I said, could you please make that crepe? Just then the whole kitchen exploded from boiling fat. Food was flying everywhere, I left without my hat. Now, I didn't mean to be nosy, but I went into a bank to get some bail for Arab and all the boys back in the tank. They asked me for some collateral and I pulled down my pants. They threw me in the alley whenever comes this girl from France who invited me to her house. I went, but she had a friend who knocked me out and robbed my boots and I was on the street again. Well, I rapped upon a house with a U.S. flag upon display. I said, could you help me out? I got some friends down the way. The man says, get out of here. I'll tear you limb from limb. I said, you know they refused Jesus too. He said, you're not him. Get out of here before I break your bones. I ain't your pop. I decided to have him arrested and I went looking for a cop. I ran right outside, I hopped inside a
cab. I went out the other door. This Englishman said fab as he saw me leave a hot dog stand in a chariot that stood parked across from a building advertising Brotherhood. I ran right through the front door like a hobo sailor does, but it was just a funeral parlor and a man asked me who I was. I repeated that my friends were all in jail with a sigh. He gave me his card. He said, call me if they die. I shook his hand and said goodbye. Ran out to the street when a bowling ball came down the road and knocked me off my feet. A payphone was ringing. It just about blew my mind. When I picked it up and said hello, this foot came through the line. Well, by this time I was fed up at trying to make a stab at bringing back any help for my friends and Captain Arab. I decided to flip a coin like either heads or tails, but let me know if I should go back to ship or back to jail. So I hocked my sailor suit and I got a coin to flip. It came up tails, it rhymed with sails, so I made it back to the ship. Well, I got back and took the parking ticket off the mast. I was ripping it to shreds when this Coast Guard boat went past. They asked me my name, and I said, Captain Kidd. They believed me, but they wanted to know what exactly that I did. I said, for the Pope of Ebrook, I was employed. They let me go right away. They were very paranoid. Well, the last I heard of Arab, he was stuck on a whale that was married to the deputy sheriff of the jail. But the funniest thing was when I was leaving the bay, I saw three ships sailing. They were all heading my way. I asked the captain what his name was and how come he didn't drive a truck. He said his name was Columbus. I just said, good luck.
Thank you. destruction, waiting for a sign. was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up you. And I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I said too much. I haven't said.
Next, we have 2023 music from the album The Intrinsic Nature of Ship from jazz pianist Matthew Ship. This is Jazz Frequency from Matthew Ship. Thank you.